goes without saying that each one of these legendary stalkers has an overweening reverence for the power of dynamite. It had become customary over a long period of time for each one of our production fishermen to be turned out of jail at dawn under a work release program that was put in place by the leading businessman of Snipes Ford, one Neon Leon, proprietor of an exotic trading house known as the Snipes Ford Live Bait Livery and Marine Laundry. Leon's business is, or one should say his motto is, in business as in life, there are some driveways we have got to come down out of with our lights off. This Leon is such a shifty piece of work and moves around so much that he has his own zip code. Oh, I can hear it now out in the Ocklawaha hinterland. Unlicensed percussion, the sounds of ordnance, legions of catfish geysering skyward in stunned effusion. Lay those whisker snoots out in the line and fillet them out with a lawnmower. Sell them to brother-in-law's restaurant for scallops. I can see Leon and the boys right now just punching out those scallops with a copper tube. Call for reinforcements. Signs of misspent youth. Commissioners got into the act when it was determined that our production fishermen represented the highest income group in Ocklawaha County. So very quickly, each one of them got his own key and a deed of property, and under the terms of a sudden second mortgage, a monthly mortgage payment as well. But that didn't bother the production fishermen, who for many years had been paying rent to Sheriff Hutto Proudfoot for their cell. Sheriff Proudfoot was the big loser in the transaction, but soon recouped by losing such a blizzard of speeding citations on the county commissioners, all of whom commuted to the courthouse in stock cars, that they forthwith sought solemn counsel and began rummaging about in their most revered and elastic barrel of pork, to the end that the sheriff was given two ears and a tail, which is to say, that the husband of his youngest sister was given sole franchise to operate and maintain a Greek restaurant on the ground floor of the old county jail. This is the aforementioned brother-in-law's restaurant, which specializes in alligator tails wrapped in grape leaves. With the windfall generated from the second mortgage on the old jail, the commissioners were then able to erect a statue in the city park which symbolizes our way of life in Ocklawaha County, as well as to construct a new stock car raceway on the edge of town, which at least has the salutary effect of keeping the commissioners off the streets in the daytime. The old jail was auspiciously renamed the Bon Voyage Condominium. Good people, If this isn't Ocklawaha County laissez-faire, then there ain't a one of you here today who properly understands the distinction between business and business. The head philosopher at Arundale's loading ramp is Agamemnon Jones, who always says, it's either easier to get forgiveness than it is to get permission. Now that's philosophy. Agamemnon says, I get downright tired of the way all these intellectual folks take a simple idea and turn it into something complicated. Take the idea of love. All these college professors talking about love, they have to be too categorical and abstract, talking about different types of love. Patriarchal love, matriarchal love, connubial love, conjugal love, carnal love, filial love, spiritual love, and uxorious love. In the real world, there's just two kinds of love. There's love, and there's love. That's philosophy. Now, this is one of those love songs my daddy would sing that made my mama's eyes light up. The Dutchman's not the kind of man to keep his thumb jammed in the dam that holds his dreams in. But that's a secret only Margaret knows. When Amsterdam is golden in the summer, Margaret brings him breakfast. She believes him. He thinks the tulips bloom beneath the snow. He's mad as he can. Margaret only sees that sometimes. Sometimes she sees her unborn children in his eyes. Let us go to the banks of the ocean, where the walls rise above the Zaire Sea. Long ago, I used to be a young man. Dear Margaret remembers that for me. The Dutchman still wears wooden shoes. His cap and coat are patched with love that Margaret sewed in. Sometimes he thinks he's still in Rotterdam. Yet he watches tugboats down canals and calls out to them when he thinks he knows the captain. till Margaret comes to fetch him home again. To unforgiving streets that trip him, though she holds his arm. Sometimes he thinks that he's alone and calls her name. Windmills whirl the winter in, she winds his muffler tighter. They sit in the kitchen. Some tea with whiskey keeps away the dew. And he sees her for a moment, calls her name. She makes a bed up, singing some old love song. She learned it when the song was very near. He hums a line or two. Dutchman falls asleep and Margaret blows the candle out. Let us go to the banks of the ocean where the walls rise above the Zuyder Zee. Long ago I used to be a young man. Here Margaret remembers that for me. But we've got, there'll be other workshops, and we have to make room for them. And this has just been a delight for me because, like I say, an unscheduled stop is always the best stop. There'll be a Florida Songwriters Workshop down at the gazebo, at the boat landing down toward the river, and Frank and Ann Thomas will be there, and myself and Will McLean, and Del Suggs will be there, and Don Grooms will be there. Did I say Frank and Ann Thomas? Yes. And I hope you'll be there, too. What time? 12 o'clock. Thank you. I didn't always pick and sing for a living. Nope, the first job I ever held in this wonderful world of limitless opportunity was that of a door-to-door Bible salesman in Bean Creek, Florida. Now, whenever you hear a bunch of salesmen talking, sooner or later you're going to hear them use the word mooch. M-O-O-C-H, mooch. Now, if a salesman uses that word, he ain't talking about a freeloader. He's talking about a stone sucker. A mooch is a kind of a fella just can't say no to any salesman. It's easy to find the mooch where he lives if you're in the selling game. The mooch generally resides in a domicile surrounded by a cyclone fence with a plenitude of signs on the lawn in front. No solicitors. No trespassers, keep off the grass, no salesman allowed, beware of the dog, no Rosicrucians, no Freemasons, no anti-vivisectionists or nuclear protesters need apply here. Now, if you're in the selling game and happen on a scene like this, buddy, all you got to do is show up with the goods and the rest is commercial destiny. They'll give you a cash payment for one unit and a check for another and lend you a thermos of lemonade to get you through the heat of the day. On the other hand, you come to a house that has one simple sign, beware of the dog. You better give it a wide berth because in all probability they're harboring a Siberian timber wolf on the property. My first day as a Bible salesman, I came to a house with 75 signs and a cyclone fence. I sailed in like the ship of grace coming home. I got halfway to the house, and I heard something cantering around the side of the building that sounded like a Shetland pony in a flea collar. Suddenly, I was confronted with a Brobdignagian brindle-striped pit bulldog who must have weighed 197 pounds. He was carrying 74 pounds in his lower mandible. His teeth averaged 4.5 inches. His eyes were red-rimmed, baleful, and bloodshot. He came caterwauling over the greensward, obviously dedicated to the primitivistic proposition of separating my thoracic regions from my nether parts. I mean, I was scared. Now, they told us in Bible-selling school, when confronted by a hostile animal, for God's sake, don't show fear. An animal, they said, can smell a man's fear. Well, I pondered this insipid truism for a moment. And then I decided it's just a little bit hypocritical to try and act courageous when you're standing on strange turf, having just sustained an involuntary glandular retraction. That's why I like these unscheduled stops. I'd never say that on main stage. Nonetheless, I took another step in the direction of the domicile. The flea bag flowed under the viburnum. My confidence soared. I took yet another step, and he launched himself and came directly at my Adam's apple like a airborne caricature of the Goodyear blimp swaddled in a mammoth raccoon coat. Great God, here you come, tear me limb from limb. Whoa, get away now. Whoa, oh, oh. Friends, I would like to leave my canine adversary in suspended animation and describe to you the merchandise we were selling that summer in Bean Creek. Friends, it was a big family Bible that had a pebble grain Monongah hardcover with an 8x10 Technicolor picture of the Savior's countenance. Take it home and set it up in the corner, and those eyes that follow you all around the room. It had a 74-page concordance, a map of the travels of Moses and the lives of the saints. It was a bargain at $38 and weighed 14 ecclesiastical pounds. Now I come before you this afternoon and readily admit that I am anything but a praying man. But in this moment of spiritual crisis, I rolled my eyes heavenward in search of divine guidance. And suddenly the words of the scripture washed over my beleaguered spirit like the balm of Gilead, simply this: that man is put on this earth to hold dominion over the animals and the beasts of the field. And so it was with a sense of glorious righteousness that I held the good book on high and smote that deviant brute at the base of the skull with the word of the Lord, causing him to undergo transfiguration on the wing. Suddenly his eyes were suffused with the joy that surpasseth understanding. He hit the ground in an attitude of supplication and went into convulsions of ecstasy. Just between you and me, I flat knew I wasn't about to move any merchandise of that address. What with the family bow-wow going through apparent terminal maneuvers on the turf. Nonetheless, I did quit that place in a mood triumphal, and after a night of abject sleeplessness during which I was harried by manifold demons of guilt, I did seek out Agamemnon Jones, the philosopher, at Arendelle's Purina loading ramp, saying, "Agamemnon, I have sinned, for I have visited injury upon a fellow creature, and I am overwhelmed with guilt." Agamemnon said, "Tell me about it, son," and I did. He said, now let me get this straight. Would you say that the unruly carnivore was attempting to remove your leg above the knee or below the knee? Both, I replied. And you belabored him with a good book, did you? I said, yes, I did. I admit to that, and I am guilty. He said, Gamble, concerning this guilt that you feel for this retaliation, when your work speaks for itself, don't interrupt. So much for guilt. Thank you very much, and we'll see you all later on today.
Good morning, everybody. As you can see, you're in for a special treat today. The Ukrainian American Society of St. Petersburg and Tampa Bay Area have brought up a large group of people for your entertainment. Michael Kopenick, in a few minutes, will tell you about what you're about to see, and I'll tell you a little bit about Ukraine. Ukraine is a very ancient nation, which is now a part of the Soviet Union, and what you see before you are some of the cultural survivals of Ukraine, which is now in Florida. There is a large Ukrainian population in the United States and Canada, and fortunately for us, they have held on to and kept alive many of their very ancient traditions. Inside the building to over here, you will see many crafts demonstrations and food ways, and you will get to sample if you time your visits the right way. So I'd like to introduce Mr. Kopenick right now so he can tell you about the songs and the dances which you will see, which are a very important part of traditional Ukrainian life.
Thank you, Loretta. Appreciate your fine introduction. And good morning. Is it morning? Just about, ladies and gentlemen. It is my pleasure, and all of us from Ukrainian American Association in St. Petersburg, a big pleasure to introduce to you and bring to you a Ukrainian choral music and Ukrainian dances. Our group is relatively small, but really enthusiastic about and really thankful for being invited here. Thank you to Florida State Society, State for Florida Folk Fair Committee to allow us to perform here today. Some of you perhaps have read gone through to the program, which on page 24 describes a little bit about Ukrainian people, Ukrainian life, and arts, music, and craft, and so on. I'll try this afternoon, and we all of us will try to bring you more and try to explain a little bit about our music and specifically about the dances, describe a little bit, and also translate a music, translate the words. So let's start. First dance is a introduction, really, to a dance and traditional Ukrainian welcome given to all guests, friends, and strangers whom they are first time, even a second time, when at meet. You, as our audience, are for welcome today by the girls who are entering the stage with the embroidered towels and carries a bread and salt so that nobody will leave today in here hungry, at least symbolically. So here's the first dance, Morena.
Oh.
Thank you, ladies. Now a dance called Hopak. It's really a very popular Ukrainian dance, which is dance in the pairs, two, three, or four pairs. Could be girls and boy, two girls, but not two boys. It could be dance, smaller children, could be grown-ups, and this it's a mixture of varieties of steps interwoven, and looks like it, you will see it. So here's this dance, Hopak. Thank you, boys and girls. A little bit too warm today for a dance, but nevertheless, the young ones, they couldn't endure. And now a dance called Kozachok. This time is by little ones, and they play anywhere from age 2 to 5, and they've been practicing a little over a few months. So, but basically, they do dance a basic steps, actually a rhythm to keep in step. And they are pairs two together and around, so we'll see as Mrs. Olya Cherkas will did work some with these children, and she tried to present something for you, so let's have a children.